Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Pastor Stephen Baker from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
So our text this morning will be in Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 22. And the title of the message is Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark. And we'll go ahead and read verse 9. Actually, we'll back up and read verse 8 because it's an important verse. In chapter 6, the Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." And so we'll go ahead and pray, and then we will begin our study of Noah's Ark. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone listening is not saved, that you convict them and save their souls today. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So Noah's Ark, Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 22. Of course, last week we looked at the society, the way the world was before the flood, and how wicked it had become. And when we get to verse 8 of chapter 6, the Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So God came down to one man and his family, and God had determined to destroy everyone else, wipe them out and start over with Noah and his family. And so the first thing we see is the state of Noah and his family. The state of Noah and his family. Verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Now the word perfect, according to Strong's Concordance, means entire, literally, figuratively, or morally. Also as a noun, integrity and truth. So Noah was a man of complete integrity. He was a just man. He was a man of integrity. And not only was Noah a good man, but indeed he was a righteous man with righteousness that came through faith. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that by faith Noah built the ark, and he had righteousness that came by faith. And so Noah was a just man, and he was a man of integrity. And verse 10 says, "And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And obviously, he also attempted to instill that same integrity and faith in God into his sons. And his sons and their wives were also saved aboard the ark, along with Noah and his wife, as God destroyed the rest of humanity. And so, having seen the state of Noah and his family, we look at the state of the earth. The state of the earth. Genesis 6:11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." So you see that the end result of these people intermarrying between saved marrying lost, if we want to put it in today's language, believers in God marrying non-believers, when they came together, they started producing children, and their children did not grow up believing in God. Their children grew up rejecting God. And so you had a whole society that was corrupted, and the end result of that was violence everywhere. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So you go back to the first murder with Cain, when he killed his brother Abel, and that was the first murder in the world. And now you go down hundreds of years and generations, and you find an earth that is filled with people murdering one another and hurting one another, and filled with corruption and violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So God says all flesh had corrupted his way. And so there wasn't one family except for Noah and his immediate family that God was willing to save and start over with. Everybody else had corrupted themselves, and God said, we need to do it over. We need to just wipe them out and start over. Now, thirdly, we look at God's judgment on the earth and its inhabitants. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So the time had come for judgment. God had given these people a chance to repent, to turn to him. Indeed, from the time that Noah began to build the ark, God gave them 120 years, as we learned last week. He gave them 120 years to repent. And in addition, God had sent Methuselah and given him extra long life. And Methuselah was a righteous man. And then he had also sent Enoch, and Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. And God had even worked a miracle by having Enoch taken out of the world in the form like the rapture, just taken up out of the world to meet God without dying. And before Enoch was raptured out of the world, the Bible says that he was a prophet, and he prophesied. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, Jude tells us, prophesied against the wickedness of the people and said that the Lord is coming with the 10,000s of his saints. And that not only is a picture of the end time, but it was also a warning of coming judgment. But the people would not listen to Enoch. They would not listen to the testimony of Methuselah. And indeed, the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and they rejected the message of Noah as he was building the ark and telling the people that they needed to repent, but they would not repent. And so the time of judgment had come, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And it's interesting that God waited until he got down to one family. And that just shows God's mercy. He kept holding out his hands of mercy, saying, you can repent, you can get right. He sent prophets, he sent preachers, and yet he waited until it got down to one family. And if Noah and his family had become corrupted, then it would have been all over. And so God saved Noah and his family and held out mercy until the end, but then judgment must come. And so we see the fourth thing, salvation from judgment was found in the ark. God gave Noah the plans to build the ark, and the people that were in the ark would be saved from God's judgment. So verse 14, God says to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now Hebrews 11:7 tells us by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so Noah's righteousness came by faith in God, just as ours does today, faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we're made righteous in the sight of God. And notice that the Bible says, by faith being Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, because nobody had ever seen it rain on the earth. The Bible teaches that there was a mist that came up from the ground and watered the earth, but there had not been rain. And so Noah's there preaching while he's building the ark, and he's telling the people there's going to be a flood. There's going to be rain fall out of the sky, and it's going to flood the earth. You'd better repent. And the people all laughed at him, no doubt, and thought he was a nut. But he continued to build the ark. There was an ocean during that time, so we don't know if it was crazy for Noah to be building this boat, if people thought that was crazy, or if they just thought his preaching was crazy. It may have been that there were boats, certainly nothing to this size as the ark. And I myself have theorized that Noah may have been a shipbuilder and that he may have had a company, and that may have been how he was able to get together with his sons and build this thing as he did. But that's just a guess, no way to prove that. Nonetheless, Noah was preaching to these people and telling them they needed to repent, and they would not listen to him. And he was telling them it was going to rain, and it had never rained. And the Bible says that he was moved with fear. He was moved with fear. Now, fear can either cause you to stand still and do nothing because you're afraid, or it can move you to obey God and to do what God wants you to do. Many people have been moved with fear to get saved. They hear the message preached, and maybe they're not moved by the love of God, but perhaps they're moved by fear of hell and judgment, that they decide to start thinking about Jesus Christ and his offer of mercy. And so Noah was moved with fear, and it moved him to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. Now, the Bible says it was built of gopher wood, and we don't really know what gopher wood was, but it's been theorized that it may have been cypress. Fawcett's Bible Dictionary says, perhaps cypress, suitable for shipbuilding, abounding in Babylonia and Adiabene, the region which may have been that of Noah's building. It was here that Alexander the Great obtained timber for building his fleet. So Alexander the Great had a famous fleet, and he built it with wood from this region. So it's perhaps the gopher wood was cypress. Nonetheless, it was some kind of a wood that was good for building ships. And then pitch. The Bible says it was to be pitched within and without with pitch. And Easton's Bible Dictionary says asphalt or bitumen in its soft state called slime in Genesis 11:3, Genesis 14:10, and Exodus 2:3, found in pits near the Dead Sea. It was used for various purposes as coating of the outside of vessels and in building. Allusion is made in Isaiah 34:9 to its inflammable character. And so this would have been used to coat the ship and helped with durability and waterproofing. And the Bible says in verse 15, "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits." And so this is quite a large ship. Chuck Smith says it is interesting that it is six times as long as it is wide, which of course we have discovered today is the ideal ratio for a ship, its length to its width. And most of our Navy ships are just about the same ratio, about 6 to 1. And the Life Application Study Bible says the boat Noah built was no canoe. Picture yourself building a boat the length of 1.5 football fields and as high as a 4-story building. Ryrie says, although we do not know for certain the length of the cubit mentioned here, later in history it was about 18 inches. A vessel of such dimensions would have a displacement of about 20,000 tons and gross tonnage of about 14,000 tons. Its carrying capacity equaled that of 522 standard railroad stock cars, each of which can hold 240 sheep. Only 188 cars would be required to hold 45,000 sheep-sized animals, leaving 3 trains of 104 cars each for food, Noah's family, and range for the animals. Today it is estimated that there are 17,600 species of animals, making 45,000 a likely approximation of the number Noah might have taken into the ark. But indeed, the people at the Ark Encounter, who are by far the experts on the Ark today, say that it wasn't necessary to take all the species of animals. they say, was every species on the ark? No. Species is a term used in the modern classification system. The Bible uses the term kind. The created kind was a much broader category than the modern term of classification, species. Recent studies estimate that the total number of living and extinct kinds of land animals and flying creatures to be about 1,500. With our worst-case scenario approach to calculating the number of animals on the ark, this would mean that Noah cared for approximately 7,000 animals. So that's a lot less than the 45,000 that Ryrie speaks of. And if you had upwards of 7,000 animals on the ark, that would have given a lot more room for the animals. And thus you could have had bigger animals. And remember that most of the animals wouldn't have been huge. They would have been small. You wouldn't have had to have every kind of dinosaur, for instance, on the ark. A lot of the dinosaurs were killed during the flood. And even so, many dinosaurs were no bigger than a chicken. And so, you could have had all the different kinds on the ark. And this information comes from arkencounter.com, which is a very interesting website. We have some pictures from there as well. And this is just a look at the ark and a huge vessel. And if you go up to Kentucky, you can actually visit this. And I understand from people that have gone up there that it's quite incredible. And here's a photograph of Noah and his family actually building the ark with their cranes and whatnot. No, not really. This is the Ark Encounter, but you can see when it was being built how big this boat is compared to the people that are building it there on those cranes. And indeed, it's about the size of an oil tanker today, and quite large. That is, if the cubit is 18 inches. Adam Clark had a whole write-up on how the ancient cubit was thought to be bigger than 18 inches, but nonetheless, if it's 18 inches, this would have been the size, and quite big enough to carry everything. Genesis 6:16 says, "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with its lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it." So the ark had multiple stories, and this door, one door that would have covered it. The word window here, BDB says that it means noon or midday, basically signifying a light. And Adam Clark says that this window is probably a word which should be taken in a collective sense, signifying apertures for air and light. And possibly the ark was built, at least at the Ark Encounter, they've got the middle of it open so that the windows and lights at the top can shine light and bring fresh air down through the whole ark to get to all the different floors. The Bible says, "In a cubit shalt thou finish it above," and Gill says, "not the window, as some think, which they place at the top of the ark and supposed to be a cubit in length, but the ark itself, which was finished with a roof, raised up a cubit high in the middle." And so this roof would have come up in the middle and been a cubit high, about 18 inches. And then you would have had windows and air inlets cut into that. Verse 17, "And behold," God says, "I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." And so here we have some pictures of the interior of the ark. You see the multi-floors and how they've got it hollowed out in the middle to access all the floors. And then you see that Noah and his family could have had quite nice living quarters inside the ark. They were going to stay in there for a long, long time. And so they had to have it to where they could live and be comfortable. "And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, Genesis 6:19. And here's a picture from the ark encounter of some children looking at some dinosaurs kept in the cages. And so there were a variety of animals, all different kinds that were in the ark, but certainly enough to make all the animals we have today. For instance, you'd only need two dogs to make all the variety of dogs that we have, because inside the genetic code is enough to make all the different types. And creatures change within their kind. That's called microevolution. We don't believe in macroevolution, that is, one kind does not change to another kind. But we do believe that creatures change within their kind. We see that all the time. So we see, and dogs are a good example, the different varieties of dogs. And all except for the poodle, which is probably a bad genetic experiment. Ken Ham, when he was giving his speeches, used to make fun of the poodle. I know poodles are cute little dogs, but some of them aren't little, no. At any rate, Genesis 6:20, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Now notice that they're not bringing sea creatures into the ark. And there was no need to, because they live in the water. And there's plenty of water, more water after the flood. So you didn't have to bring sea creatures into the ark, and God providentially kept enough sea creatures alive during the flood in order to populate the ocean after the flood. But indeed, they brought land animals and birds. Genesis 6:21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And so Noah would have brought enough food sufficient to keep things alive. And so there's a photograph of some stock rooms, the way it may have been stored down there, but he would have brought food for himself and all the animals. And so we have seen the state of Noah and his family, the state of the earth, God's judgment on the earth and its inhabitants, salvation from judgment in the ark for Noah and his family. And then finally we see that Noah obeys God. Noah obeys God. Verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And how did Noah obey God? He obeyed God by faith, the Bible tells us. By faith he built the ark. Now, we at our church are building an ark. This is an ark for rescue of our community and society. And on board our boat, on board our ark that we have here in the sea of this community, we have sufficient resources to reach our community. We have the gospel. We have training facilities. We are going to continue to build on and have addiction recovery classes that will be coming up soon. We're going to add an additional morning service soon during the midweek to reach third shift and swing shift people. And we have the gospel that's going out warning people that judgment is coming, that the Lord is going to return, and that death is coming and judgment is coming. And so, as we go forward, we need to be careful to obey all of God's instructions. And we can find those in the Word of God, in the Bible. And we need to be careful to move by faith and to preach the message and proclaim the gospel as God has commanded us to proclaim, because judgment is coming on this world. And as we shall see tonight, the Bible even says that Noah's Ark was a type of salvation. And so judgment is coming, and we have a message of deliverance, salvation in Jesus Christ, not in church and not in a certain system, but salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, as we proclaim that message in this church, in this ark, and to this community, then let's do it by faith, and let's proclaim that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And let's get as many people to Christ as we can before judgment comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing at Harmony Baptist Church and in this community. And I pray that this message of the Ark of Salvation, Jesus Christ, would go out. And I pray even that our church would be an ark in this community, a place of refuge, a place of help and nourishment, spiritual nourishment, and a place that people could come to get what they need and to have a refuge from the world around us. And we do pray that you just help us to proclaim thy message of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. We pray you give us grace to do that. We ask in Jesus' name. If somebody here is not saved, we pray you convict them and save them this morning and help them to come to Christ before it's too late. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.